I invite you to bow your heads for prayer. Dear Father, we have been richly blessed thus far. We have participated in the foot washing service. And we believe your word, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Though our sins be as scarlet, you have washed us and we are as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, you have made us like pure wool. And now we come before the table to participate in the bread, to drink of the cup, a symbol of the broken body of Jesus and his blood that was shed for the remission of sins. Pour out your spirit upon us now, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Charlotte Elliot grew up in the finest society that England had to offer. She was born into a very wealthy home. She began to go to school, and in her upper grades, she became very, very sick. The family didn't quite know what to do. Her illness left her for most of the time in bed. They decided to move Charlotte from where the family lived up in the north down to the south to move in with her brother. Charlotte Elliot's brother was a pastor, and she moved in with his family. However, Charlotte was somewhat discouraged because her brother was so busy doing the Lord's work. And his wife and their children were all involved in ministry, but because of Charlotte's illness, she could hardly do anything for the Lord. And that was a real burden on her heart. One evening in particular, the family left and Charlotte was home alone. And she got thinking about what she could do for Jesus. She then remembered the words that a preacher had told her many years before. The preacher had been visiting in her parents' home when she was still young. And the preacher had asked Charlotte, had she given her heart to God? Charlotte said she didn't know how to give herself to God. The preacher then said, you need to come to Jesus just the way that you are. Well, Charlotte was thinking about this, and the family had left to go to some church activity. And Charlotte reached over and picked up a pencil and some paper. And thinking on those words, she began to write the words of a poem. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Well, by the time the family got home, it was late. Charlotte was asleep. But her brother's wife saw the poem that Charlotte had written. She read it, and it impressed her. So in the morning, she asked Charlotte, she said, could I take this poem and put it in a little book of anonymous poems that our church is collecting? Charlotte said, I suppose so. Well, they did that. Charlotte's health kept going from bad to worse until finally she was in the hospital, and they hadn't given her too much time to live. Once again, she was discouraged. She thought, what has my life done for the cause of God? I've hardly brought any hope to any soul, let alone brought somebody to Jesus. The doctor who was taking care of her was a Christian man. He recognized how discouraged she was. And one day he came walking into a hospital room and he had a little book in his hand, a book of anonymous poems. And he stood at the foot of Charlotte's bed and he said, you know, Charlotte, I've been reading through this book. I don't know who wrote this poem, but it has brought such joy to my heart. And he opened the book and he began to read the words, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Tears began to swell up in Charlotte's eyes as she realized that she had been a blessing to at least one other person. Well, history tells us that that poem, which was eventually put to music, that song written by Charlotte, has brought more people to Jesus than any other song ever written. As we begin our communion service, not only do we remember what Jesus has done for us, but we pray and say, Lord, what can we do for another? And so let's go to Jesus just now, just as we are, and receive all of the blessings and promises that he wants to give. If you have your hymn books, you can open it up to hymn number 313. 313. And we'll be using the melody that we know familiar. We'll be singing verse 1, verse 4, and verse 6. And let's sing this as a prayer. 3:1:3, just as I am. You can remain seated as we sing. Let's sing together verse 1, verse 3, and verse 6. So today we come to Jesus just the way that we are, and we receive from him all the blessings of the atonement.
I wanted to speak for just a moment about the bread as used in communion. And there was two things. It had to be unleavened bread. That means without yeast. And the reason why was that in the Bible, leaven represented sin. And what leaven does in flour is it will permeate it. And it causes it to rise and to puff up. And it loses its normal appearance. And you know, sin does the same thing in the Christian's life. If we allow it to come in, not only does it permeate, but it causes us to rise and puff up with self. To rise up to where we want to ascend even above the highest. Above God. And it completely changes the appearance of God in us and who we were created to be. But since it also represented the body of Christ, it could be without leaven, for Christ was without sin. For 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And it was something about the way in which unleavened bread had to be prepared that also bears much symbolism. It had a distinct look in the way it was made in the Hebrew culture. In order for it to cook properly, cooking all the way to the center, since it had no leaven, it had to be striped. And by that I mean, if any of you have baked cookies, for example, and you've taken a fork, say to a peanut butter cookie, and you've sat in there and you've pressed it all the way through, they would do this to the unleavened dough. And how interesting, because then when it was done, you would see nothing but stripes all the way across its surface. And it also had to be punched to cook properly. Holes had to be drilled into it with the end of an apparatus. And so when Jesus raised the unleavened bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you," he was holding up a symbol that both he would be pierced for our transgressions and that his back would be striped by many lashes. In fact, Isaiah 53:5 told us this when it said, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was beaten like that dough. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." The bread is a symbolism continually that Christ gave his all for us, including his body. By his stripes we are healed, and by his pierced and bruised side we may find eternal life.
As we think about his body and we think about the blood, this blood was not something that was taken from him, but he gave it. He gave himself, he gave his death, was given. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says great drops of blood. In the agony of the separation from the Father, he felt that separation and he shed it willfully. He was there not for, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And Jesus was there willfully shedding his blood. It wasn't the nails. It was willfully giving up of himself for you and I. And so as we think about that blood that was shed, it was done willfully because of his love for you and I, as we think about that.
As we come before the Lord and ask his special blessing on the emblems of his body and his blood, we'll kneel here in the front and invite you just to bow your heads as we pray.
Father, indeed, we thank you that your Son gave his body upon the cross. Father, we thank you that by his stripes we may be healed. Father, we thank you that the final punishment was given to him, that he drank the cup of iniquity so that we could drink the cup of life. And Father, now we pray a special blessing upon the bread. We pray, Father, that you would enter into our hearts and flood us with thy Spirit, that your flesh would become ours, that you would dwell within us to work both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Father, thank you for your body. And now we ask that you, through it, would enable us to fulfill your role as your body on this earth. Please give us the spirit of surrender, the spirit of service. And we look forward to that day very soon, Father, when we will be with you again in paradise. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our kind Heavenly Father, what can we say for the blood that you've shed for us? Lord, we're here because we want to remember what you've done. Lord, you died. We ask that you take this cup that we think about what you've done for us. We ask that you bless this grape juice that we take, dear Father, that we may remember throughout eternity what you've done for us. And we thank you, dear Lord, for that love that you have shown us through this sacrifice. Thank you so much, dear Lord. Be with each one here as we partake. May it reach the heart, dear Father, that we may truly understand your sacrifice today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
as you listen to the music and as you wait to receive the bread and the grape juice, I ask that in the quietness of your heart, you would give yourself to Jesus 100%. This is the opportunity. This is the day. Start it with Jesus. Start the year with your Savior. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I received this from the Lord, which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed," not just any night, but the night of his betrayal, "that he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." I spent much time in prayer last night, asking God to be present this morning in a very special way. God has heard my prayer. My cup is full. It's overflowing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. I invite you to stand as we sing a song of rejoicing and praise. Hymn number 462, Blessed Assurance. Yes, Jesus is mine. I'd like to invite our song leaders to please come forward. We will sing all three verses.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. Goodness, love.
you'd be so kind as to take the communion cups with you on your way out, there will be deacons with something that you can put the communion cups in. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Oh, Father, our Father, our King, our Lord, our Creator, our all-powerful, all-compassionate God. Thank you for being concerned about us. What is man that you are mindful, that you care about us? Who are we that you would give your greatest possession and blessing, your only Son, to die a terrible death so that we can live? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons and daughters of the Highest. Thank you, Father, that we are clean. Thank you that we have been forgiven. We have been washed. We're at peace with you. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works within us, unto him be glory and honor and dominion and power now and forever. Amen and amen. Please be seated. Thank you for joining us today. May God richly bless you this Sabbath and this coming year.